God's plan for salvation and what does it mean for us? Before we talk about God's plan, first we think about what is salvation. Before we think about what is salvation, then we have to think about the fundamental issue. Why does human being need salvation? Can you use one word or one sentence, as simple as possible? Why does human being, you and me, need salvation? What is the key point we need salvation? I will use a lot of questions to stimulate your thinking. It's not a test. Why does you and me, everybody need salvation? One word. Sin, right? Another answer? If we read the book of Romans thoroughly, the book of Romans chapter 1 talk about salvation. Gospel is the salvation of God, right? And then, what does the book of Romans talk about first? Talk about? Before talk about how God saved us, what does the book of Romans chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3 talk about? Do you know? Before talk about how God saved us, what does Romans talk about? Chapter 1, you open it. What does the book of Romans talk about? From chapter 1, verse 18 to chapter 3, verse 20. Okay. This passage talk about what? One word. Talk about what? You don't know. Sin. Because we have sinned, so we need salvation. So, in chapter 3, verse 20, you talk about everyone under the law, whether it's Jews or Gentile, everyone in front of God is sinner. So that's the reason we need salvation. So the most terrible issue in our life we need to confront is not global warming, is not pollution, is not living standard, is not terrorism. The first and fundamental issue we have to resolve is sin. And besides, we have sin, we have sinful nature. Outside, there is Satan. And Satan will tempt us to sin and even sin more. And then we are facing two divine nature of God. What are the two divine nature of God? Fundamental two divine nature of God. What are the two? God is righteousness and God is merciful. These are the two divine nature of God. And these two divine nature of God go hand by hand. So because of human have sinned, so we have been cut off the relation with God. We know there is a Father. We know there is God. We are looking to reconnect with the Father, the origin of human being. But we are unable to find him. We are unable to reconnect ourselves with him. The fundamental issue is sin. And because we have sinned, we cut off our relation with God. And then we suffer. So the reason we need salvation is to come back to God, reconnect with Him, so that we can receive every good things from God. And from being a sinner, transform to be a children of God. And this is process called salvation. So what is salvation means? Let's go through the example in the Old Testament, and then we look into the example of New Testament. From the historical example, salvation happened at least two times in the Old Testament. The first time in Noah's generation, in the Genesis chapter 6 or 7, talk about that generation, everybody thinking were corrupted. First, their mind are corrupted. The second, their life are corrupted too. So God see the end of human being is coming. Because we are human being are corrupted. So God see the end of human being coming, that because of God's justice, He had to punish the sinner. The sin have some kind of consequence there. So He had to enforce to that consequence happen. And then God is a merciful God. So before He exercised judgment, so He commanded Noah to build an ark. And this ark come from the mercy of God. And He commanded Noah to proclaim the good news of salvation. He had to go into the ark to be saved. So when the door of the ark closed, and then the heavens start to rain heavily. When people realize, the flood warning by Noah is true, but it's too late. The door already been closed. So all that generation have been destroyed by the flood. But only how many people were saved? How many people? Eight people were saved. And this is called salvation. A practical example happened in Genesis chapter 8 and chapter 7. People are destroyed by water, and some of them are saved because they believe in God and follow God's instruction. Okay. In the Genesis, there are second time of salvation. Where can you find it? The city of Sodom. All right. The city of Sodom were violent and also sexual immorality, two great sin against God. So God wants to destroy that generation with fire. But before God destroyed that generation with fire, what did God do? What did God do? God sent the angel to save a family out of the city of Sodom, right? Who are the family? Who is the family? The Lot, right? The family being saved. Once they departed from the city of Sodom, and fire came down from heaven and consumed the whole city. So we can see once again God's justice been done, and God's mercy also been manifested in the city of Sodom. And in the New Testament, we can see the prophecy. The prophecy, the greatest prophecy, only one are not fulfilled yet, was that. All the prophecy in the Bible has been fulfilled. The only one is not fulfilled yet. What's that? The second coming of Jesus. And in that day, salvation will happen the third time. What is the third time? Jesus Christ come to save those who believe in him. And then those who refuse to accept the salvation of Jesus Christ is going to suffer eternal condemnation. Let's turn to how the New Testament talk about salvation. Can you find one verse in the Bible can very clearly tell us the difference between being saved and not saved? The difference between those who are saved and those who are not saved. Can you find a verse in the New Testament? Any verse can very clearly let us know the difference between saved or not saved. Know the book of Acts. Which verse? Acts 26, which verse? Verse 18. Can anybody read aloud? Anybody read aloud? So, what's the difference between I believe in Jesus, I don't believe in Jesus? I want to be saved, and I don't want to be saved. What's the difference? The verse 18, very clear tell about. So, their eyes can be opened. How can the eye open? Through preaching the gospel. When people understand the truth, they understand the spiritual realm. They can look into the matter from a spiritual perspective. That means our eye opened. If our spiritual eye is not open, we only use a physical eye to see the material world. And a lot of people thought that's all of our life, material world. But when our eyes open, then we see there is an even more mysterious world, spiritual world, that come from the gospel. We can understand it. They call eye open. Then turn them from darkness to light. That means if a person are not saved, the person live in darkness. If a person are saved, the person live in light. And darkness represent what? Three things. The darkness, first thing, it represent death. Once you die, you fall into total darkness, no hope at all, forever perished. And light represents life. If we are saved, we have eternal life, eternal hope fulfilled. You will never lose it. This second, first definition. The second, darkness represents sin, and light represents righteousness. If we are saved, God will help us, empower us to get rid of the sin. If we are not saved, we will continue to be controlled by sin until we die. Through drugs, through gamble, through sexual immorality, through anger, through hatred, through everything. That means our life is in darkness because we are controlled by sin. The third, darkness represents blind. You cannot see. So in the darkness, even you open your eye very wide open, you cannot see anything. All right? In your car, when the light is what? Cannot be on, all of a sudden you have to stop the driving. Otherwise, you don't know where you are driving, right? You want to drive home, but probably you can never reach home because in darkness. So Without salvation, spiritually, we see nothing. We cannot identify the true value. But after we receive the salvation, we will identify what is the true value. Oh. Okay. So this is the first difference. The second one, if we are saved, we have been moved into the kingdom of God. If we are not saved, we are under the control of Satan. Oh. So in the spiritual realm, there's only two kingdoms. There's no third neutral kingdom. No. Right? If we don't belong to God, we belong to Satan by default. Oh. You have no choice. Oh. So, saved means we partake the kingdom of God. Not saved means we under the control of Satan. The next one. If we are saved, our sin are forgiven. If we are not saved, our sin follow us until we die. And sin is what? Spiritually, sin is debt. The debt is so huge, we can never repay it. So one day, we see God, we are going to settle the account. Since we have so huge debt, the consequence you can imagine. The second, sin is sickness. A terminal sickness which we cannot cure. So when we are saved, then our sin being forgiven, our sickness being cured, and debt being forgiven. The last one, if we are not saved, we are the poorest person, just like a rich man, eventually in the Hades, even don't have one drop of the water. But if we are saved, we are the richest person because we are like going to be like a Nazareth in the kingdom of God, enjoy the glory and all the abundance in the presence of God. So from here we can understand the difference between saved or not saved. This is from the New Testament perspective. Okay, and then from the journey of the Israel in the Old Testament, we can see what the salvation means. Let's look into the Hebrew chapter 10. First Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 1 to verse 4. Anybody read it? First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to verse 4. Okay. You talk about historical record of the Israelite. They move out of Egypt and marching towards the land of Canaan. And we are not a Jews. How come we have to study their history? Because history has some spiritual significance. So here talk about they passed through the sea. And verse 2, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud. So passing the Red Sea represents baptism. So the Israelites in Egypt, they were under the control of Pharaoh. And they were slaves. And spiritually, Egypt represents the world. Pharaoh represents Satan. The king of the world is Satan. Before we are saved, living in the world under the control of Satan. And then, when Do we been liberated? When are we saved? As soon as we receive the baptism, our sins are forgiven. And we cut off our relationship with Satan. And we move out of the territory of Satan. And that right moment, we are saved. And then they wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. And after they crossing the Jordan River, they enter into the promised land. And that promised land filled with honey and milk. And that promised land represents the kingdom of God in two senses. The first sense is after we die, right? Our soul being taken back to heaven. And that's a land filled with honey and milk. Oh, and that's eternal salvation. Oh, this is the first sense. The kingdom of God fulfilled eternally. Oh. And the second sense of the land of Canaan is the kingdom of God fulfilled in our life, fulfilled in our family. Oh. So, after they enter into the Canaan, they have to fight with the foreign tribes. They have to kill them and drive them out. The seven different tribes been driven out, and they were able to divide the land. They were able to totally occupy the land. So what does that mean? Inside our heart, there are so many different kind of lust. All different type of lust. Unless we drive out of the lust, the sin from our heart, we can never really feel the peace and joy. Right? Through the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and then we put our effort into it, and gradually in our life, we are able to drive out sin and live a righteous life, and God fulfill in our heart, in our family, and there was a peace and joy and all different kind of blessing. In that means we receive the blessing in the world. So salvation can represent in the future we go to heaven. And it also can represent the fulfillment of God's kingdom in the world. Can anybody remember Romans chapter 14, verse 17? What the Bible say? The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but in what? This is a very famous verse, right? The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but what? Three things. First, righteousness. The second, peace. The third, joy in the Holy Spirit, right? And Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God is in you. Oh, right? So if the kingdom of God fulfilled, first, righteousness, we have no sin, not controlled by sin. The second, peace, no fear, no worry. That's called peace. The third is fulfilled by the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine if we live a righteous life, no sin, very peaceful and very joyful, and that kind of life called a life like in heaven while we are on the earth. So it's possible this kind of life can be realized if we pursue the salvation every day. Now, we really go into the canon that the kingdom of God fulfilled. Our life will be very, very wonderful. So this is called salvation. So salvation itself promises a very beautiful picture while we are still on our earth and while we are in heaven. Both are all wonderful. This is so-called the salvation. And what is God's plan for salvation? First one, God shows no partiality, so God wants everyone to be saved. God wants everyone to be saved. There are a few verses. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Anybody read it? No. Okay, he desired all men to be saved. So nobody can say, oh, I think God don't love my father, so God don't want to save him. Or God don't love particular person, so God don't want to save him. No. God's love is universal. So he loved everyone, and he want everyone to be saved. And then if we read the book of Galatians, look into the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 26 to 28. Next one, who can read it? So what's God's plan? God wants everyone to be saved. That's the first plan. Anybody read it? Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 28. Okay. Because we believe in Jesus, so we are all the Son of God. So we receive baptism, baptized into Christ. And verse 28, regardless of different kind of race, Jews or Greek, right? Race including culture. Different race have different culture. Right? So regardless what kind of, you are black, you are white, you are yellow, you are whatsoever color, right? Whatsoever culture, right? God loves everybody. So regardless, God accepts everybody. The second one is either you are a master or you are a slave. Social status. You are CEO or you are employee, right? Social status in front of God it makes no difference. God loves everyone. So God's love is not selective. God accepts everyone. And the third one is gender. Whether you are male or you are female. When you are in Christ, you all become one. And then verse 29. Once you belong to Christ, you are the descendant of Abraham. You are going to have inheritance, which means heavenly inheritance. So, salvation plan is for everyone to be saved. And when did God have this kind of plan to save everyone? When? Can you imagine? When did God have the plan to save everyone? When? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Anybody read it? We need volunteer, right? Right. Okay. Before the creation, God already chose us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that we can be holy and blameless. So, before the creation, God already know human being is going to be corrupted. But before the creation, God already prepared salvation. God already prepared Jesus Christ is going to come in a particular moment to save the human being. But if you ask another question, and how come God no human being will sin, God still create human being, I don't know. A lot of things are too profound. One day if you see God, you ask him. We just use whatever we know to understand whatever we know. If we something we cannot know, we just use a faith to accept it. That is faith. We are human beings. We cannot answer all the questions. We are limited. If we try to answer all the questions like God, some answer must be not very right. Oh, right? So before the creation, God already prepared the salvation. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to the world, and the salvation been unfolded. Oh, and this salvation including Gentile. Oh, so in the book of Galatians, later on, Paul talk about there's a mystery. Today, we don't think this is a mystery. What is a mystery? God want to save the Gentile. In that time, that was a mystery. How come? Because before Jesus was born, only the Israelite consider the children of God. So Israel itself means what? The prince of God. All non-Israel all consider the Gentile. So these 1,000 years of tradition, they have never think about or salvation will reach to the Gentile. But in God's plan, salvation will reach to Gentile. So God revealed this plan to Paul. So Paul considered this is a mystery. But today, through the teaching of the Bible for 2,000 years, we don't think this is a mystery because everybody know it. And we are not a Jews, we receive salvation. So this is not a mystery anymore. Another point, God wants to save us through Jesus Christ. This is God's plan. Salvation only available in Jesus Christ. Apart from him, there is no salvation. Find it. Where is it? Apart from him, there is no salvation. In the book of Acts, can you find it? Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Can you read it? Okay. There is only one name rely on which we can be saved. Even Jesus Christ himself proclaimed the same thing, right? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Follow. Who can connect? When Jesus said, I'm the truth, I'm the way, I'm the life, what is next? Huh? Yeah. Can you find it? It's not in Matthew. In where? In the book of John. Find it. Okay. The next is what? Okay, chapter 14, verse 6. Anybody read aloud? Anybody read aloud? No one can come to the Father except through me. Except through me. Only one way can come back to the Father. What's that? Through Jesus. And how come there are so many different religions, only one religion can really bring us back to the Father? Why? Why? This is God's plan. Salvation achieved through Jesus Christ. Why? Only Jesus Christ is the only one way. Why? Can you find a verse? Jesus Christ came to the world with only one mission in the book of Matthew. Jesus Christ came to the world with only one mission in one sentence. Matthew chapter, chapter 1 verse. Next one. Anybody can read aloud? Okay. You shall call him Jesus. And he has only one mission. Save people out of sin. Right? And you come to the world only with one mission. What is the mission? Can you describe your life in one sentence? Most of people, you describe your life in one sentence. Very simple. Have fun. Jesus came to the world, one sentence. Save people out of sin. And how to save people out of sin? To pay a price as a ransom. And that price was his blood. Now, okay. So Jesus Christ is the only one way. Huh? So what is God's plan? God's salvation fulfilled through Jesus Christ. Also, in the church, we don't talk about so-called dialogue. In the school, if you study religion, they have so-called dialogue, right? Buddhist and Muslim and Hindu and Taoism and Christianity, let's come together, have a dialogue. Now, dialogue means what? We are so equal, right? All different religions are equal. And I tell you what I believe, you tell me what you believe, and we respect each other. That's all. That's called dialogue. But in the Bible, you cannot find dialogue. Oh, the Bible only say what? Preaching the gospel. That's all. Oh, whatever who don't believe in Jesus has no way to go back to God. So we have to preach the gospel, introduce Jesus Christ to them. So this is God's plan. Only one way, Jesus Christ, because only him pay a price, shed his blood, so can go through him, we can receive salvation. The next one is more difficult. What is God's plan? Jesus saved us, of course, through Jesus, but also through church. Oh. A lot of people, they believe that if Jesus saved us, it's not the church who saved us. It sounds very logic. If Jesus saved us, it's not church saved us. But we have to understand, when we discuss the truth with the other denomination, one verse you must use. If we don't use this verse, we miss the most important part. What is the verse? There is one verse in the Bible. When you talk with the other denomination or other Christian, you must use it. If you don't use it, you miss the most important point. What is the verse? There's one verse, when we talk to other Christian, you have to use it. Otherwise, we miss the most important point. What's that? In the book of John, what's that? That is very obvious, right? In the book of John. Chapter... Do you do the campus evangelism? I think so, right? When you encounter other Christians, there's one verse, you must use it. Did you miss all the most important part in all the times? One verse, John chapter 3, verse 5, right? Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. This is a verse, you must use it when we talk salvation with other Christian, right? To be born of water means what? Washing of regeneration. To be born of spirit means renewal of the Holy Spirit. And these are the two prerequisites of salvation. And these two prerequisites actually can happen only in through Jesus Church. Why? Because only our church has the true Holy Spirit. And through the true Holy Spirit revelation, our water baptism has the power to wash away our sins. So besides our water baptism is in accordance with the teaching Bible, there are three different kind of blessing accompany our water baptism to prove that God bless this water baptism. What are the three things? The first one is a lot of people witness the blood of Jesus Christ. Did anybody of you ever see the blood of Jesus Christ in the water baptism? Okay. This first one. The second, right after the baptism, they receive Holy Spirit and start to speak in tongues. And this is the most evident baptism happened in Africa. And the third one, right after the baptism, sickness was cured. About 2 weeks ago, I met a member about 40-some years old in South America. And he testified to me about 20 years ago, he was baptized in Argentina. Actually, he had a suffering breathing for a long time. But after the baptism, totally cured until now. Never happened again. Oh, okay. So salvation come to us through Jesus and also in the church. Because we have the truth. We have the Holy Spirit. Oh, and the truth and Holy Spirit make our baptism to wash away our sin. Oh. And, okay, the next one is, what does it mean for us, for this God's salvation plan? Just a few points to share with you. First one, salvation makes life meaningful. If we don't have salvation, death will make life meaningless, regardless how much effort we put into it. When death comes, everything becomes zero. It becomes meaningless. We become hopeless. Now, right? So salvation makes our life become meaningful. Why? Because our utmost pursuit of life is what? To return to the Father, to return to see God, to be together with God. We have a living hope. Oh, and we are going to reach to that kind of hope and will not lose it forever. If we don't have salvation, we don't have that hope. We are only waiting for eternal condemnation in hell. Oh, so it's first one. Salvation makes life meaningful. The second, salvation is an opportunity. And that opportunity will not last forever. Oh, if we don't hold on it, we are going to lose the opportunity. Yeah. So while still today, hold on salvation and pursue it. The third, Jesus is the only Savior. So we don't have, we should not be our faith wavering between different other religion. The next one, salvation is in TJC. We have mentioned it. The next one, salvation has two parts. The first part is God's grace. The second part is human effort. If we look into John chapter 3, verse 5, washing of regeneration, it takes only 2 minutes. Right? It's totally by the grace of God. You just go into the water by your faith to believe in Jesus, and he washes away our sin. And renewal of the Holy Spirit is a lifelong effort. We have to put effort into it. So we can live a sanctified life. So these two parts put together and salvation become possible. If we only rely on grace, receive baptism to wash away our sin, but without pursuing the sanctification through the Holy Spirit, but salvation is still not very sure. So in the book of Revelation, there are two garments. The first garment mentioned about in chapter 7 something, by the blood of Jesus Christ, our garment been washed away. And that garment we obtain from the grace of God in the time of water baptism. But the second garment in Revelation chapter 19 is talk about wedding banquet. All right? All the bride put on the garment, and that white garment is what? The righteousness of the saint. We have our own part to do it. And this covenant will be fulfilled. And we are going to have eternal salvation. So that's what I'd like to start with you.